Thanks, Jono. All right. It didn't sound like very happy. I was just thinking too today, you know, I want to encourage all the nans here who are looking after their muckles. So we've got Doris and Whare down there. Oh, no, you're not a nan, Whare, but, you know. We've got Kathy, and we've got someone else I was thinking of. Sorry? Yes, Frieda. That's why I couldn't see her. So Frieda, and particularly Ed George, you guys got some muckles with you at the moment? No, you don't. Footloose and fancy free. And Frieda, I was just thinking of that when I saw, you know, Frieda there with Zayland. You know, Zayland has got a sight problem. That's why he likes to get up and close to everything, so he can experience it. That's the only way he can experience stuff. So, you know, it's a big work you guys are doing. So, you know, the Lord. And I know Ian and Christine, you've got family with you, haven't you? And so it's important, isn't it, as we look after our kids and look after our grandkids and our nephews and nieces sometimes and so forth. I also know, Tulane, you're moving, so you guys need a bit of a hand to do a bit of a move today. So if anybody's got a couple of hours spare and a tow bar or a ute or a trailer or something, talk to Percy and Tulane. We're going to look at this passage here. This week I was supposed to do the first part because I didn't do it last week, and then I realised, well, we're going to have the Lord's Supper, so it'd be silly not to. So we're going to look at that. In fact, what I'm going to do today is, after I'm going to preach, we're going to ask you to come forward for the Lord's Supper, so just to prepare you for that. But I won't be doing a lengthy fencing of the table because I'm going to be preaching about it. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to worship you here today. We thank you, Lord God, for our brothers and sisters who have come here to encourage us and to build us up in our faith and to grow with us as we come to your word, to study your word together, to look into it and to apply it to our lives. So we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would richly bless us now, as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Dan and Michelle have gone away, as you're aware, for I think it's 6 weeks. So they've gone off overseas, and because they've got family in Switzerland and stuff. So, which makes me think about holidays. You know, family holidays. Don't we love family holidays? Can't help admire these well-behaved children sitting here right at the front. And family holidays, you know, going on a road trip is like such an exciting thing. It's like, yeah, family, let's go on a holiday, happy holidays. And, you know, you head off on the road. And yet we all know, unless it's just my family, I don't know, but when you get in the car and you get a whole bunch of kids in the car and you start traveling, and, you know, you just feel like you're shouting at your kids all the time, threatening them. And they're just whining and whinging and wanting to stop and play on the, you know, playground, or can we go to McDonald's or whatever, or I need to go to the toilet, or I just spewed up, you know, something like that. It's usually the message we get. We actually go prepared. We have towels, we have ice cream containers with lids, plastic bags, change of clothes, wet wipes, you know, you name it. That's what we do when we go on a road trip. So something that's kind of designed to be a really good time, happy time for your family, and, you know, and you imagine yourself just driving down the highway, problem-free, singing songs with your kids and that sort of thing, which, you know, does happen too. Sometimes that's not quite what you expect it to be, and it can be the same within the church as well. Things that we really cherish and look forward to and want to value, they can also become kind of like that. And the Lord's Supper is one of those things. That the Lord's Supper is such a precious thing, isn't it? It's such a wonderful gift of God Himself, something that's tangible, something we can eat and taste and so forth. And we have this as a church, and yet it causes controversy, even just the name of it. You know, what do we call it? Is it the Lord's Supper? Is this communion? Is this Eucharist? You know, is this Mass? And there's been all this disagreement down through the centuries and even still today, that people can't get along and decide on what it is. And that wasn't new, because here in this church that it's in a church in a place called Corinth in Greece, and there was Christians there. Paul the Apostle went and helped to establish that church, and yet they had issues. And so they write him questions and say, hey, Paul, what about this or what about that? And one of the questions they ask him about is about the Lord's Supper. In fact, it seems that when he writes them, it's kind of a big growling, really, isn't it, he gives them. It's like, you know, I do not commend you, verse 17, straight away. It's like, guys, big downer. No commendation. You know, this is what you're doing is not the right thing here. So he has to talk about something which is designed to bring them together as a church, something that when they come around a common table and they share a common meal, expressing that they are all one in Jesus Christ, he has to come and say to them, the guys, the way you're doing things is wrong. Okay, so just in case you don't realize this, don't worry. We just ignore fire alarms around here. Mark runs. He's the only one who's gone. Just stay here. It'll be fine. But seriously, if it is a fire alarm, you go out there, I think, or out there. Okay. If the fire's there, you go out that way. If the fire's there, you go out that way. And assemble in the car park. So what do we take out of this passage here? Well, the first thing is that... is he explains what communion isn't. That communion isn't a ceremonial meal for cliques. What I mean by cliques is just people in groups, you know, little huddles, little collections, little tribes. It isn't just a ceremonial meal for cliques. And the Lord's Supper is, you know, because as I said, it's frequently misunderstood and misapplied. One of the problems that was here, it was happening in this place, was that they were completely getting it wrong in a few areas. And the first thing about that they were getting it wrong with is that it's the Lord's Supper is not a place to air your differences, okay? It's not a place to come and say how you are different or better than someone else. And so in verses 18 and 19, he says, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you. And it seems that one of the problems in the church was that there were factions, or there were groups, or there were collections of people, little groups coming in saying, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, obviously, it was a little bit different, but that when they would come together, you know, we say, well, we come all as a church. They were saying, no, this is our group. We're going to do Lord's Supper over there in that corner. And then there's going to be us. You know, we're going to have it. We're going to use gluten-free bread and real wine. And these people are going to do, like, no, we're going to use, like, unleavened bread and grape juice and so on. And it seemed that in the church they were coming and getting split into groups, and there is some suggestion that it was largely to do with actually their how much they had and how much they didn't have. So you imagine how sad that is. So you've got people who can rock up and they've got beautiful fresh bread from the bakery, they've got a bottle of expensive French wine, and they sit down and they just, you know, break open the bread and everybody can smell it, you know, it's like, oh, that's beautiful, and they're knocking back the wine and they're getting a bit tipsy with it. And then there's a bunch of people over here who've come in and they've got nothing. Like they went into their cupboard in the morning and all they could find was, you know, a few rice crackers and they've got some jungle juice, you know. And they come in and it's sort of like, and the people over there with the fresh bread and they're just knocking it back, and the people over here with the rice crackers and the jungle juice are just like, man, that smells nice. Man, I wish I could have some of that. I'm so hungry. My kids are hungry. Kids didn't have breakfast this morning. And these people are like, well, what stuff are you guys? We're not sharing with you. And so he says, you know, you're coming and there's these factions, and even, you know, one of the problems with this church, if you remember right back at the beginning, he says, you know, you're saying, what, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos? And so there would have been those theological differences as well, and they're like, well, we're followers of Apollos, the great preacher, And we're going to do communion the way Apollos showed us. And no, we're followers of Paul, the church planter. You know, he was the go-getter guy, the evangelist. We're going to do it the way, because the way he showed us was that's the right way, you know, and that's the way you have to do it, because we've got to keep doing it that way. And then there's other people who say, no, let's do it like Jesus did, you know, because if you read the Bible, according to our understanding, this is how we're supposed to do it. And so he's saying, you know, what actually happens is they were getting split into these different groups, and actually what it did was, you know, for them the experience of the Lord's Supper was the opposite. It wasn't like, well, we're doing the Lord's Supper, we're together, we're a family, you know, we're a Trinity family. It was like, man, we did Lord's Supper and it sucked, because, you know, it just reminded me I wasn't like those other guys, and that's why I hate them so much, you know. That's what the effect of it was having. And so he says it's not a, you know, place to come and air the differences. And it seems to be this, you know, in verse 19, you probably wondered about that. It says, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. And it seems actually that that word genuine probably should be the word privileged, or even the idea of just sort of having everything. Meaning that, you know, they'd having these factions so that the people have got the lovely fresh baked French bread and the French wine can be recognized. It's not about some sort of theological, eschatological idea there. The other thing, of course, is that it's not a feed. Now, we kind of get that, you know. It's like when you come and you look at this, you go, okay, anybody thirsty? You really, really thirsty? Okay, come and have a drink, okay? All right. You're going to have to drink a few of these. If you ran from your place to church today, how many of these are you going to have to drink, all right, to quench your thirst? You have to drink quite a few, right? So we kind of get that. And the bread, I haven't seen the bread this morning, but yep, you know, so if you were really hungry, did anybody miss your breakfast this morning? Okay. You're not really going to, you know, it's not really going to fit the hole, is it? It's not going to kind of fill you up. You need a few, about three or four Weet-Bix, I think, instead. So I'll put that one aside. You won't get that one. We kind of get that, but it seems that this was an issue for the church here. They were coming and, you know, they were eating, and it says, when you get together, verse 20, it's not the Lord's Supper you're eating, for in eating each one goes ahead with his own meal, one goes hungry and another gets drunk, and don't you have houses and to eat and drink in? And it seems that this was a problem for these guys. They were all coming along, bringing their food, bringing their bread, bringing their flagon of wine, if they could afford it. And so in line with the previous rebuke, he tells them that, you know, you shouldn't be flaunting it and doing this stuff. So this isn't about the food. It isn't about the drink, okay? There's something else we need to understand. It's something more than that. This is symbolic, isn't it? But it is food and it is drink. But it is something more than that. The other thing that's really important for you and I to understand is that it's not a magic ceremony. No magic is happening here, folks, all right? Even though we've got covers over it. You know how they do magic shows? They put lots of covers and lots of smoke and lots of whatever, you know, lights and darkness and that sort of thing, and mirrors, you know, what they say, smoke and mirrors. There's no magic happening here. Notice in verses 27 he says, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And so what he does is he reminds the Christians here is that this is not some sort of magic show. By simply joining in, you get the blessing, okay? So you need to put that out of your head, that you think that you can just come and eat the bread and drink the grape juice, that something magical will happen to you. Or if you give it, you know, give it to somebody else, then something magical will happen to them. They'll become a Christian. Or you will become a Christian. Or the Holy Spirit will come into you, or something like that. In fact, he gives the opposite warning, doesn't he? He says, you need to actually examine yourself and actually see if there's faith, if there's a living faith within you to the Lord before you participate. Because it actually can have the opposite effect. You're actually judging yourself in the eyes of God if you participate without being worthy of participation. And so to eat and drink when we don't understand, or when we're living in open sin, or when we don't believe, as he says, it actually can be a dangerous thing. You notice he goes on and says, you know, he says, I can't see it at the moment. It says, that's why, he says in verse 30, that is why many of you are weak and ill and some have died. And he's saying it's actually a dangerous thing. So there's no just, you know, there's no Christianity just by eating and drinking. That's what the point of this is here. And if we come with divisions, and if we come with hatred, if we come with unresolved issues with others and so on, and we've got anger in our hearts toward them or stuff like that, then he says, you know, we're potentially drinking judgment on ourselves. Of course, does that mean you've got to be perfect to participate in the Lord's Supper? I know churches that you go into the church and there might be 500 people in the church and 30 people will come and take the Lord's Supper. Why? Because they go, well, you know, this is such a serious thing, and I better not get it wrong. And so people will hold back, and because they think they somehow have to be perfect. And he's not saying that. He just says, you need to examine, you need to know your own heart. Do you love the Lord? Are you seeking to live according to the will of God? And are you seeking to do what his word says? You know, are you a Christian? Have you been following him? And as Ian was saying before, do you love God's word and read God's word? And so you don't put too much faith in the outward, those outward means. It's not some sort of magic hoodoo. Because we know that getting baptized or taking the Lord's Supper will not save anybody. So those are some of the things this is not. What is it though? What is this communion or Lord's Supper? I would say it's us as a community feeding on Christ and expecting his return. Feeding on Christ and expecting his return. Because this is a wonderful blessing to have the Lord's Supper. This is a wonderful thing to share this meal together. So what does he say? Well, the first thing is that the Lord's Supper is a gift from Jesus to his church. It is a gift from Jesus to his church. You notice actually five times in this passage he says, he has the words, when you come together. When you come together. It's a gift of Jesus to his church. It's about us getting together. You just see that in the first few verses actually. It says, when you come together, verse 17, it is not for the better but for the worse. When you come together, verse 18, I hear that there are divisions amongst you. And verse 20, and when you come together is not the Lord's Supper, and so on. So the thing is that the Lord's Supper is something that is given by the Lord Jesus Christ to us as brothers and sisters. And it's the church that comes together as a family. When did the Lord, as he reminds them later on, when did Jesus institute the Lord's Supper? It was when he was in the upper room with his disciples, when he had gathered with the disciples to eat the Passover with them, and then he takes the Passover bread and takes the cup and says, this is my body and this is my blood. You know, that's why over the centuries, most churches have discouraged people from what we call private communion, or, you know, just going off by yourself and taking the Lord's Supper. And people wonder and they go, oh, is that because, you know, the priest wants to be able to say, hoc est corpus meum, you know, this is my body. And it's not about that actually, largely, although there may be that in it. But it's actually about the whole communion element. The whole coming together element, about the fact that this is something that Jesus gives to his church. It's something that brings us together. It's something that unifies us. It's something that is common. And we're not coming with our our different statuses and our different differences and different ideas, but we come around one single table. So it's something that is given to unify the church, and it's something that's a gift from Jesus to the church. What else is it? The Lord's Supper is about feeding on Jesus. Now that sounds a bit freaky, I know, to some people. Jesus said, though, didn't he? He said, "This is my body." He said, "This is my body." And he also said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." It's kind of a bit spooky for some people, isn't it? This is my, and you're saying, "Oh, you know, the early Christians, one of the rumors that went around was, don't go with those Christians, because you know what they do? They get together and they practice cannibalism." They do. It's true. It's true. I saw it on Facebook. They say, "This is my body." What are they doing? They're eating bodies. Oh, they're eating the body of their Lord. And you are. There is an element in which when you come and when we come and we take the bread and we take the wine, we are feeding upon Jesus. Now, I don't say some magic words and the bread doesn't become the body of Jesus. And the wine doesn't become his blood. There's a word for that, big word. It's called transubstantiation. You know, got that one? Written it down? Okay. Doesn't happen. I don't say some words and it doesn't become the actual body and blood of Jesus. It's not like that. There's no magic happening here. But what happens is in here. As you come and you take the bread and you take the wine and you have, your eyes are looking with eyes of faith, as the Spirit of God is living within you, because you have been changed by the Spirit of God. You are a Christian, you're trusting in Him, living for His glory. The Holy Spirit is in you, and you take that bread and you take that wine and you put it in your mouth and you drink the cup. You are feeding spiritually by faith. You're seeing not just bread, you're seeing Jesus. You're tasting not just the grape juice, but you're tasting the Lord Jesus Christ himself with the eyes and with the taste of faith. You're feeding upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're living by faith in the Son of God and you're ruled by his Spirit, then you take with your hand the bread and the wine and you are spiritually nourished by him. Just as the Israelites, as they took the Passover lamb and ate the Passover meal and drank the Passover cup, just as they did those things, so Jesus says, "This is my body. I am the new Passover lamb. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." And as Moses sprinkled the blood of the lamb upon the people and said, "Behold, the covenant," also Jeremiah promised in Jeremiah 31:31, he says, "I'm going to put a new covenant, I'm making a new covenant with you." And Jesus takes the cup and says, "This is the new covenant in my blood." And so Paul says, "This is my body." Jesus says, "This is my body. This is my blood." And we feed upon Christ. And the final thing to notice is this, that each time we celebrate this meal, notice these, you probably notice those words in verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Some people say, well, that means we have to do it as often as we can. I don't believe that that's the natural reading of this passage here. But whenever, each time, as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. What is that? You're proclaiming that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again for your sins and for the sins of his people until he returns. So you get that? Each time you participate in the Lord's Supper, each time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's a gospel proclamation for everybody to see. Bread, wine, what does that mean? Jesus Christ died on the cross. He rose again, and he's coming again to put things right. He's coming again. That's the gospel, isn't it? And everybody can see that. And those who participate in it, they taste it. It's the gospel. It's a confession of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes. And we proclaim that. You proclaim that. When you participate in the Lord's Supper, you are saying, I believe that, Lord. This is my confession. This is where my hope is. This is where my life is at. This is me. I am feeding upon Jesus. I am covenanting. I am taking the cup of the covenant that was made by his blood for me, for my sins, to wash away my sins and make me clean again. And so if you are not a Christian today and you say, Jeff, no, I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to eat that bread and drink that cup because I'm not a Christian. You know, I don't believe that. This is a good challenge for you to ask yourself and say, why don't I believe that? Why won't I take that bread and drink that cup? What is stopping me? What is stopping you? What is getting in the way? What is holding you back? What stops you from coming to Jesus? Eh? Ask yourself that question today as you watch other people take the Lord's Supper. Or maybe if you're uncertain, you're like, oh, I'd really like to, but it's embarrassing, or I don't know what's people going to say if I go and take their bread and take their wine. They're going to think I'm a, you know, are they going to think so, you know, what do they think about that? I'm saying I'm perfect, that I'm saying I never do anything wrong, that I say I'm a goody-goody. Well, you have to decide today, don't you? You have to decide. You have to make a choice. You have to decide who you're going to serve, don't you? You're going to stand up, as that old hymn says, stand up for Jesus. Or are you going to just try and hide in the shadows still and pretend you're not? And so it's you have to decide. You have to take that step and put up your hand and own up, fess up, whatever you want to call it. Step up. Maybe you're just feeling really weak and you're like, oh man, I don't know, I'm really struggling. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not up to it. Well, my brother and my sister, you're encouraged to come and participate in the Lord's Supper because you're feeding upon Jesus, and that is going to make you stronger. It's going to make you stronger. It will help you. It will help you with your faith. And if you're a Christian, you are here to feed upon Jesus, my brother or my sister. You're here to be strengthened by him. You're here to tell your family. You're here to tell your children. You're here to tell everybody that he died on the cross and rose again. And one day he will return. He will return for you all and for all of creation. So we're going to participate together in the Lord's Supper. But we're going to sing again. We got, I keep forgetting the name of the song. We're going to sing a song. How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And then we'll participate together in the Lord's Supper.